The Holy Gospel is written in the third chapter of the Gospel according to St. John, beginning at the first verse. Glory be to thee, O Lord. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe it if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the Gospel of the Lord. May I speak in the name of the living God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, Nicodemus was a big hitter. He had a very grand name, literally meaning victory of the people. And he was clearly a deeply respected teacher. Now, different translations of the Gospel of John describe him as a teacher of Israel, Israel's teacher, or the teacher of Israel. He was a learned Pharisee, part of the Sanhedrin, the ruling council. He was right at the very heart of the Jewish establishment, one of the temple elite. He is clearly intrigued by Jesus and is drawn to him by witnessing the signs and miracles of Jesus that point to God's vibrantly working through Jesus. Nicodemus's analysis of the evidence is correct, but he's hampered by caution and restraint. He comes under cover of night. He has perhaps too much to lose. He fears losing control. Jesus probes Nicodemus to see whether he has any concept of the radical turning that is involved in following Jesus. But his depth of learning and study, his focus on the complexity of the detail of the written law, they all prevent him from seeing past a bizarre literal meaning of the words of Jesus being born again. Jesus is saying, "Give the Lord's Spirit the priority. let the Spirit take hold of you. It's not that God thinks there's anything wrong with flesh. God loves his creation. But to experience the real life offered by Jesus, to live in the freedom of being who we are created to be, we have to allow the energizing breeze of the Spirit to take us, to fill our sails, to enable us to soar away from the world's imposed patterns of life, our concerns with the everyday worldly activity we're all involved in. We need the gusts of the Spirit to provide direction for our lives, to blast away the cobwebs of everyday concerns, to drive our priorities. Now, the Hebrew word for breeze and Spirit is the same, the wonderful word ruach. And breeze or wind is used as a powerful, tangible metaphor for the Spirit of God throughout the Bible. The wind or Spirit of God hovering over the waters of chaos right at the start of Genesis. The rushing wind of Pentecost empowering the apostles. We know the power of wind, but can't see where it comes from. And so with the Spirit. Now, wings are regularly used as a metaphor for faith. In a moment we'll sing "Give Me the Wings of Faith" by Isaac Watts. Faith helps us to take off and catch the breezes of the Spirit and fly. I personally understand the primeval desire with many of us to fly. It just seems the most wonderful, wonderful concept. And as a consequence, I hate heights because I sense the urge to jump and try and fly. Apparently, I'm not the only one. I have looked it up in Google. I would love one of those wingsuits that you may have seen, which intrepid extreme sports enthusiasts use for jumping off mountains or from planes and flying. There are some extraordinary videos of them flying through the Alps, just dodging crags, mountains, forests, and then landing with the aid of a parachute in a wonderful, lush meadow. It looks absolutely fabulous. But it is statistically the most risky sport by some distance. Although I did notice that statistically running and cycling are both more dangerous than skydiving. If only there was a perfect wingsuit. Perhaps faith can be seen as the perfect wingsuit. Faith, belief and trust in the unseen works of God, in the unseen power of the Spirit. Faith lets us catch the breeze. We heard in the reading from Genesis that Abraham set off in faith. Our faith is founded on the loving purposes of God set out in the Gospels and other scripture. And in our Gospel we heard perhaps the most celebrated couple of verses in the Bible, part of which is said at every Eucharist here as part of the comfortable words. A verse that encapsulates the very essence of the Gospel. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. God moves out of his unconditional love to rescue us from our undeserving selves. Now, many may see eternal life as something wonderful in the distance, a future experience, but eternal life is happening now. with a most glorious future. Living the everlasting life of God is impossible unless we allow the winds of the Spirit to energize us, to blow us, to take us. But so often we allow ourselves to be just too weighed down, to be bound to the world's concerns. Will our reputation suffer if we take the risk? Will we be perceived as just being rather weird? A fear of disrupting our well-ordered, comfortable lives. Often we are just too risk-averse, perhaps. Nicodemus did make the journey. He did move from being passively intrigued to being an active disciple. We hear later in John that he assists at the burial of Jesus, bringing spices and aloes, witnessing the sacrifice of Jesus when he was lifted up for the world. So may we all allow the breeze of the Spirit to take us on our journey, and may we encourage others as fellow travelers. In the name of Jesus, amen.